بسم الله. I want to chronicle something. It is from the book entitled The Initiation of the World. The Initiation of the World by Vera Stanley Alder. The book was first published in 1939, first published July 1939. Thereafter, it was reprinted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. First published in 1939, reprinted in 1945, reprinted in 1946, reprinted in 1950 twice, in October 1950 and November 1950. And then 3 years later, it was reprinted again. So clearly there was a demand for the book and an interest. And I'm sure within those reprintings, some slight changes. It's a very small book. And you can look at the table of contents. Part 1, review of spiritual sciences. And part 2, review of material sciences. The chapters are maybe 2 pages, 4, 6, 7, just a few pages per chapter. Gets you to a concept, and then you leave that concept. Some of the chapters are how giant intellects are built, the plan of creation, reincarnation, the rays, the hierarchy, the path of initiation, the initiation of man, the psychic centers, Shambhala, the initiation of the world has always known, the birth of national genius, torchbearers of the Black Age, torchbearers of the Age of Science. And then for part 2, all of those were under review of spiritual sciences. In part 2, you have the mineral world, the vegetable world, the insect world, the animal world, the endocrine world, the electric kingdom, the insect world, the animal kingdom, the endocrine glands, the electrical kingdom, the kingdom of the mind, and fusion. That should pique your curiosity. So just very quickly, I want to give you something to ponder and maybe do some research on the book and read it with an open mind and discernment and cross-reference it to some of your other studies or research or practice. Let's see, how giant intellects are built. I'd like to share something with you from this very brief chapter. Let me just scan it very quickly. I read it earlier today. I thought about y'all, and I thought about the importance of sharing it. So much. Let me see. Yes, those are deliberate moments of silence. The way the writer writes is well, this was an important point and made me again say how I wished I would have focused on math when I was younger. Here, just something to think about. Let us see where the resemblance comes in. Well, in the previous statements, it's talking about Moses, Pythagoras, Shakespeare, Swedenborg, Einstein, and a few names chosen of people considered to be brilliant. And it's questioning what the similarities may be between them that can point to the commonality of brilliance. It says, quote, they all have recourse to higher mathematics or symbolic numbers by means of which they either obtain the clues to their knowledge or develop their mentalities to the point where they were able to obtain it in some way. Period. And that's in a quote on page 9. There's another really important point that I wanted to share. Let's go on. Following that quote to the next sentence. Pythagoras said, God geometrizes. He and other giant intellects have realized that the world is created upon a system of numbered vibrations, patterns, symbols, and dimensions, and that through a study of these numbered vibrations and rays, the symbols of the way in which they intersect to form certain shapes and the different grades of matter which their varied frequencies precipitate, an understanding of the created world, its trends, purpose, and the great consciousness behind it can be acquired and utilized. Now that's really deep. And I was in fact just looking at something about the flower of life, this symbol and the study of it. Continuing the next page 10. Big intellects have always been interested in the purpose of creation, the reason for all created forms and their destiny, the mighty hidden forces and designs which lie back of it all and just beyond the reach of man's average physical senses. In turning their minds away from the petty personal affairs to concentrate upon those larger issues, they have been obliged to bring into action various latent brain cells which are not used for everyday habits of thought. Now that's deep. That's what one point I wanted to share, that when we think about those constructions, those frequencies, the reality, the unseen reality, when we think about that, when we use the sciences, which this book points to, the idea of merging the spiritual sciences and the material sciences as a couple, they give us a greater perspective of the reality in the material world and the abstract. But when we give our minds over to contemplate the abstraction of things, the unseen things, then we are then activating latent brain cells within ourself that can help guide us through the imagery and the thoughts and the realities of what may lie in the unseen realm. And we can't use our everyday thinking to access that kind of knowledge. So when we look at these giant intellects in the world, they spent time reflecting upon the unseen. And in that way, they were able to discover concepts and ideas in reality that the mind that deals with the 9 to 5 and how long my hair is and what I'm going to wear, what kind of car I drive, how do I pay this bill? You know, the worry of and the competitive nature of everyday living doesn't cultivate these latent brain cells that would afford a person to look beyond the physical senses into the abstract. Isn't that so powerful? Let me continue. People who think like this, their brains have thus expanded and changed in character, although in a way not necessarily wholly visible to the ordinary scientist's microscope, as we will explain later. The brain contains 5 times as many physical brain cells as the average man brings into use. It holds also their counterparts in finer strata of matter, which we call the ethers, as well as in all the 7 major planes of matter, which we studied before. The brain is like a wireless receiver, and with practice one can tune in to any number in the ladder of created vibrations. The brain is a perfect instrument for the use of the will and the mind. That perfect instrument exists latent in the heads of every average person, but it is neither understood nor used. Most people go about with, at the most, a fifth of their consciousness operating. Oh, I'll just stop there. Should I stop there? Let's see, I'm 11 minutes in. There's so many wonderful points in this book. I'm going to just stop there. I'm going to leave you with that. That thought of thinking beyond the physical reality. Think beyond that. Begin to think about trends and patterns and the symmetry of activities and events that are unfolding. Consider, as I attempted to share in the last podcast, the idea of synchronicity in conjunction with this, respecting the ideas of frequencies, vibrations, and let's see, what's the third one? Energy, I believe it is. Let's see, you have the vibration that creates frequencies, and the frequencies release energy. I think that's the imagery that I want to try to give to you in their importance. The importance of sound and language, what you listen to, what you say, what you think, and that in all activity there is a vibration to it, a frequency to it, an energy to it. So if you aren't familiar with the flower of life, find something really simple. A 10-15 minute YouTube presentation about the flower of life. We usually think about the tree of life, but go check the flower of life out. I think you'll find it very interesting. Inshallah, during Ramadan, I think I'll come on for about 15 minutes. That's funny. I don't know the last time I did a 15-minute podcast, but I'll come on, inshallah, at least on 4 occasions. That will be weekly during the month, and I will not go past 30 minutes. Anyway, I'd like to, in fact, continue this as a topic for the month of Ramadan. This idea of developing the developing those aspects of ourselves that will allow us to mesh with the vibrations, frequencies of other things in order to improve our synchronistic outcome. I think that's the word I'm looking for. And experience its outcome and experience, and for it to be more intentional. I know for myself, as of lately, it's just been synchronicity is just almost in everything. It's not so random. It is becoming more frequent. Lastly, I just want to say, in reference to some of you who are listening and may notice a change in my voice, I think it's a couple of things. I ran into a very good friend yesterday, and she's usually with her husband. She was with her son. She was just approaching. I didn't initially recognize her. I just was talking to a stranger like I usually do. And then we recognized each other. And first thing she said was, how was your baby? How was your son? And, you know, I had to share with her that my son had passed. And she was like, oh, sounds like you had that COVID. And mind you, I did. I have had COVID a couple of times. And I do have allergy issues. And that's usually my response. And depending on where I am, I could say it as a fact. If it's cheap perfume or not clean enough or dust or carpet or, you know, things that trigger the allergy for me. But the other part of the voice change, and after she made that statement, as I reflected upon it, and I actually told, I didn't tell her allergies. I told her it was the sound of a person who has gone through some tragic situations and traumatic events. And I meant it when I said it. I think our experiences, certainly, you know, they change us. But I never thought about the experience changing a voice. I never thought about it that way. And that not, you know, and you know, and well, as I'm reflecting now, so many examples are coming. If someone is fearful, then they have a voice. You can hear the fear in their voice. If someone is in love, you can hear that they're in love. It's in their voice. If someone is weak, you can hear that they're weak in their voice. I mean, you see it as well. Sometimes you don't. If a person, you know, can create an illusion. And so, yes, my voice is different. I am different. And I just want to say that this is my frequency. This is the vibrations of my voice and the energy of it that in some instance when I am intending or maybe not, it inspires. All right. So once a week during Ramadan, I hope you can join me. See if I can get a little regularity. God bless you. Peace out. Off the cuff.